Welcome everybody to Blizzlet's first podcast, the home for the freshest news and hottest takes in Blizzard gaming. My name is Daniel Shelton.
And my name is Kayla Ferrara.
Today we are going to be talking about Hearthstone and Overwatch. We've got some incredible interviews coming up. We're going to be talking about the new player experience. We're going to be talking about the upcoming expansion. And then in Overwatch we're going to be talking about Orisa and some Doomfist fantasy. It is an action-packed show today, Kayla.
Definitely. I can't wait to get started.
All right, let's get to it. So let's get into it. Let me introduce my first guest of the day, Adam Grebus. Say hello to the people out there.
Hello, people out there.
Beautifully done. Flawless. Grebus is a fairly consistent player, but you are not a competitive player.
Absolutely not. I have... Actually, the highest I think I've been is rank 10 at one point.
Okay.
And that was weird.
You prefer the fuck-around decks, as we've dubbed them.
Yes, that is what I would call them.
Okay, beautiful.
The funner, the better.
We'll get to that later in the podcast. We're going to start talking about the new player experience. Kayla, you are a brand new player. Tell us about your experience to the game.
My experience, not going to lie, I wasn't all that excited to start playing when you suggested it, but when I opened my first pack, I was like, this is going to be just like Magic. And then I played and was pleasantly surprised. It was familiar enough to where I didn't not know what to do, but it was different enough to where I didn't get bored instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
So I was strangely impressed with the game.
I don't think that strangely is the right word there. I think you just say impressed.
Well, from a perspective of somebody who's only ever played... regular card games, I didn't have much of an expectation for Hearthstone,
mm-hmm.
but then getting into the game, it's really difficult to step away.
Sure, and I think it's interesting that there is such a barrier between new players and veteran players, at least as far as the amount of cards available. You are still working to get the basic cards. Meanwhile, Grebus, how much money would you guess that you have sunk into this game?
Oh, well, I almost always buy the promotion packs when a new set is coming out.
Sure.
And then they at one point had a Christmas deal where I did about 150 in one Christmas break. So
he says shamelessly.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
It was pretty bad. So if you're putting it all together, for as long as I've been playing, I'd say... 300, 400?
Oh my gosh.
Now, to put that in perspective, that's still... You have most of the cards in Hearthstone at this point, right? Like, a large majority. At least the legendaries.
Yes, a large majority. Yes, for sure.
If you were to convert that into, like, Magic the Gathering, I don't think that would buy you nearly as much.
Oh, heck no. I have spent thousands of dollars in Magic the Gathering, and those...
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Everybody that's just listening that has not played Magic or is not a nerd
but,
just
I mean, come
died.
On, come on, come on, come on. It's over a number of years.
Sure.
So, as far as Hearthstone goes, like, yearly, as far as I've spent, it's mm-hmm. like maybe $100 for a year. That's
which,
not bad.
Which is a lot for a video game. But to your point, I don't think it's that much for a collectible card game.
No, absolutely not. I'd say that it doesn't feel like I've spent very much, even though we're now adding it up and it sounds pretty bad.
I'm sure you're going to have a lovely conversation with your wife after this.
Oh, don't say anything.
I mean, I can shamelessly say that I've spent hundreds of dollars on Magic 2 and I've only been playing for 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's... I'm leaning towards hundreds instead of saying close to 1,000 because I'm not sure. You know, you kind of, Magic kind of gives you that opportunity to get cards that are much, like a 10 to 100 times more expensive than the pack you purchased.
Mm-hmm.
True, which is why I think they're far more expensive. There's
yeah.
no way that you can sell legendaries in Hearthstone to the highest bidder.
Right.
Yeah. That wouldn't be fair.
Right. Although I am I would love if you could trade cards.
I think that'd be really cool too.
As long as there was like an equivalent of like a legendary for a legendary or like two epics for a legendary, whatever the equivalency is, so that way it's not I'm going to give you a legendary for a common, so you're not unloading or selling cards.
You wouldn't by any chance remember the Soulforge days?
Oh, yeah, I remember playing Soulforge, which is a game that none of our listeners have played.
Probably not. Regardless, it was another electronic card collecting game, mm-hmm. and it did have a trading aspect that kind of ruined it, because you could trade anything for anything. So if someone just wasn't going to play anymore, they'd give you all their cards.
Which does kind of ruin that experience, I think.
Sure, which means, I guess what I'm saying is, I see why Blizzard hasn't touched that yet. Yeah. Although some sort of mechanic for that could be real cool.
And that would be super complex. I don't have any solutions. I'm just posing a question. So let's go ahead and talk about the thing that everyone's talking about nowadays, the Ungoro Creta, which is not how you pronounce it, but in my mind it is, and that's all that matters. None of you have done your homework about Ungoro, correct?
That's true.
That is true.
Beautiful. This is my time to shine. Give me my soapbox.
Here.
Thank you. So, Ungoro Creators has a lot of brand new things that I'm super excited about. Of course, we're going to get new cards, which is always fun. We're going to get big legendaries, which is always fun. We're going to get 23 new legendaries, which...
Wow.
Yeah! That's a lot, right?
That feels like a ton.
I'm trying to think. I feel like most expansions come out with like 12 to 15 off the top of my head.
That sounds about right, because it's one for every class, and then a few handful of neutral ones.
Right, and this one has two for every class, because it's introducing the questing mechanic. So we have a quest and a legendary card, and then five neutral legendaries.
Okay.
Which is a lot. So I am most excited about the questing mechanic to be revealed. The only one that we've seen so far.
I haven't seen anything, but I've heard about it. It sounds ridiculous. So there's my two cents.
So you automatically start with it in your hand. You can choose to mulligan it away, but it will automatically start if you want it to. It's a one-cost card. You play it, your opponent can see it, and then you get a massive reward once you complete it. The only one we've seen is you play seven Death Rattle minions. You get a 8/8 with taunt that sets your hero's health at 40. And I believe that if you were to play with Wild and you were somehow to get like Ragnaros, or even if you managed to get Draxxus from a Cabal Courier or something, that would set that health to 40. Can you imagine a 40 health Draxxus?
Wow.
You would lose, right? There's nothing you could do at that point.
Yeah, it'd be real hard. Well, actually, did you know that you can kill Draxxus
with one sacrificial
card? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, yes, that does sound ridiculous, though there is a tiny, tiny counter.
That's fair.
Because I'm at a loss sitting in a room with two nerds about this.
So, don't pretend that you are not a nerd here. You are a co-author of BlizzLet. You are absolutely a nerd.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. I'm just not as much of a Hearthstone nerd yet.
Okay, yet.
We'll make that happen right here, right now.
I am super excited to see how questing will influence deck construction, but I think the thing that will affect the meta more is the new keyword ability of adapt. So when you play the card that has the keyword adapt, you get to choose an additional ability. It can either be like a +1/+1, +0, +3, +3, +0, stealth, poisonous, divine shield, untargetable, or a couple others.
Is poisonous a new phrase?
It is. It's a new keyword. It's replaced with the cobra. Where if you deal damage, it automatically kills it.
They've just given it a name.
Yep,
so
it's just poisonous. It is almost exactly what Death Touch is.
Equivalent to Death Touch.
Yes. I think that is amazing. The amount of skill that will require, I think that's going to see the most play from the professionals by far.
And I can see how it would make deck building way more intense,
mm-hmm.
because you're potentially preparing for a whole number of different options.
Right.
Because you could push for your adept stuff to push more towards poison, more towards ramp. Either way, your deck now needs to be prepared for all of those different options.
Yeah. And, I mean, one, they're going to be absurd with Murlocs, because there's the big gentle dinosaur, which has been revealed too early. on accident, and it adapts all of your murlocs. And we were talking about this earlier, and the idea of wind-furied murlocs is just fucking insane to me.
And even one warlord, is that what they are? They're warlords, yeah. Or war drivers, leaders, whatever.
They do a lot of things. In Hearthstone, they're mostly known for warlording, but they do also pile drive, they do fundraising, they do lots of things, Creepus.
Oh, yeah, sure. They're very community conscious.
Yes, as murlocs tend to be. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna switch one last time. Grievous, you are the fuck around guy.
Yeah.
So you've got a fuck around deck. We're gonna post the entirety of the deck list along with this podcast, so you can check it out on Blizzlet. Give us just a general rundown of the deck strategy, and stuff like that.
Well, that's the number one thing, is that there is no strategy.
Beautiful, love it already.
It is a wild mage deck that is based around random number generation. I literally went into the filter and put in keyword random and looked through all the cards and grabs the ones that I likes. So your low-cost stuff is Babbling Book, obviously, and Arcane Missiles, as well as your Flame Cannon, and even a Dirty Rat, because I'm not going to leave all the random to me. I'm going to give it to my opponent as well, because that's where the fun is. Yes. There are some consistent things in there, to be sure. For example, there are still two Sorcerer's Apprentices, two Mirror Images, just to give you some sort of fail-safe.
Right.
As well as a couple of ice blocks and a couple of fireballs. But aside from those things, everything else is genuinely supposed to be random. All the way up to your two big guns, which are, of course, Ragnaros, mm-hmm. who deals random things. And my personal favorite, which just makes every play so much fun, Yogg.
There is no card in the world that I hate more than Yogg.
You're right, because he's horrible. I have
seen Yogg kill himself. So before the nerf, he was amazing.
That's true.
After the nerf, and there are still decks that revolve around it, but after the nerf, I have seen him kill himself so many times. All the
time. I one time played him, only for him to Sinister Strike himself.
you mean Eviscerate?
No, the one where an undamaged minion takes 5.
Oh, Shadow Strike.
Shadow Strike, thank you. He came into play, and he hit himself for 5, and he left. So I just spent 10 mana on nothing. Literally nothing. But it's so much fun! You get a wild hair up your ass every time that you play him, as you're like, something crazy's gonna happen, who knows?
So is the general strategy of this deck, play cards and see what happens?
Yes, for the most part. There are a number of different things, such as like Unstable Portal and Nexus. Quick question, Nexus.
Have you won a single game with this deck?
Absolutely. Okay. I actually had a 3-win streak at one point.
Oh, wow.
And that's what I was going to say, because there are a couple of Kabbalah's Tomes, the Nexus Champion, Sharad, and the Unstoppable Portal. Those do give you a consistent thing that mm-hmm. is not necessarily random. But you don't know what it is. So it's like you're unveiling the deck as you play.
I will say, to this deck's credit, it is impossible to hand read it. I was playing against you, and I had no idea what was in your hand.
Exactly.
I had no idea what you were going to play next.
Exactly.
And I just went, I hope this is the right play?
Right. And the amount of times that I have somehow generated a board wipe spell is pretty high as far as my play has gone with this deck.
Uh-huh.
So it makes for very long games.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
That are meant to just be fun.
Alrighty. Well, Grievous, thank you for joining us. We are going to join now by Dr. Jikininki via Skype. And so we're going to chat with him. Or after we come out of that, we're going to talk about Overwatch. It's going to be a grand old time, guys. Alrighty, guys. Welcome Dr. Jikininki to our podcast. Thank you again, man, so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, man. I'm glad y'all could have me on. I'm really looking forward to it.
It is an absolute pleasure to have you. How's your day going so far?
My day's been going pretty good so far. Just got Legend after I've been slacking for a bit this season. But, yeah, pretty good so far. How about yourself?
Doing well. Trying to one day hit that rank of legend. It'll take me some time, though.
You got it. Don't worry.
Thank you for the help. So let's go ahead and get into it. People want to know what the real Dr. Jikaniki is like, right? I do, at least. You originally started out playing competitive Yu-Gi-Oh! And then you switched to Hearthstone. What was that transition like? Why did you transition? Tell us all about it.
So, Yu-Gi-Oh! Was like one of my favorite card games growing up, so I decided to play that competitively around the age of 12 and 13. And I started doing that. I didn't really have too many people to play with when I was doing it at the younger ages, and then I finally got a group of friends. We played together, but the group of friends I was with, it didn't feel like there was any, like, motivation to get better at the game. So I wanted to do a game that I knew I could be playing by myself or through some basis where I could constantly be improving instead of needing to go out to a physical location. So when I found Hearthstone, I started enjoying it, started liking it. I'm a tabletop person by heart, so tabletop games have just always been my thing. And then Hearthstone just kind of connected naturally with me, and I kept playing it and liking it more and more. And the transition was fairly easy. It wasn't too hard. Hearthstone is not too complex of a game at the base, but then it gets more complicated when you get to the higher levels.
Now, do you ever have to fight off the urge from playing Yu-Gi-Oh! So long that you can't, like, have to fight off the urge of saying, it's time to duel?
I'm not a huge fan of that saying, but I know a lot of people use it. A lot of people joke with me about it. Whenever I told friends who weren't into tabletop or card games that I did Yu-Gi-Oh!, they're like, oh, it's time to duel. And I'm like, no. That's not.
But the show is so realistic, right?
I was a huge fan of the show, don't get me wrong, but I can't really go around in person saying it's time to duel to everyone, so...
I think you absolutely can. All right,
maybe that'll be how I introduce myself to people.
Please, if you walk into the Hearthstone Winter Championships, if you win, I need... At some point, like, just whisper it or think it to yourself of, yeah, I needed to win that duel.
Don't worry, I got the Heart of Cards on my side, so we'll be fine.
Oh, yes you do. Yes you do. Alrighty, so you recently won the American qualifiers for the Winter Championship. What was that experience like for you?
The whole experience was surreal. It was really surreal. And the reason I say that is because before coming into the tournament, not many people had known about me. They either knew me as an open tournament grinder or a ladder person. They didn't really know. I didn't really have any accomplishments under my belt. And so I was kind of a dark horse or underdog going into the tournament. And then I just started – I was undefeated into the fifth round, I believe. So I was 5-0. And I was like, wow, this basically secures top eight. And then I eventually did get top eight with a record of 6-1. And I was like, wow, this is just crazy. Like, I'm one game win away from just going out of my country to another to compete in something so big as the World Championships. And it was just a great experience, and I never expected it. I mean, to put into perspective, I was at 80 Twitter followers going into the event, and I'm currently now, after the event, 800. So
that's
quite a bump I got there. And then everything at the venue was just great. I got to meet a lot of great people, a lot of the great pro players, and also the admins at the venue were so great. It was actually a local venue that I go to for, like, the Tavern Hero events and also just to go hang out with friends up there. So that was also nice, and everything was great about the experience.
That's so awesome. Did you get a – were you at the same location as Amnesiac and Frozen?
I was. I was at the same location as – it was a pretty stacked venue. VLPS was there, Amnesiac, Frozen, Bear Nugget, Racy. There were Yo It's Flow, Muzzy, Lead Paint.
I mean, you've got the best of the best in one room down there.
Yeah, it was really stacked.
So you ran through, you ran the table. You even went 3-0 in your last two matches, didn't you?
Yeah, the semis and finals were 3-0.
How do you plan on replicating that for the Winter Championships? What are you preparing?
So I took an approach. My deck lists are public right now. The decks I brought were Midjade Shaman, Pyre Warrior, Miracle Rogue, Reno Lock, and Dragon Priest. I took the approach of bringing what quote-unquote the best decks. I didn't really go for a particular target strategy. I did make sure that all of them were not tech to beat Pyre Warrior because my plan is to ban Pyre Warrior. unless there's some other reason I might not. But I just went for the strategy of bringing what I consider to be the best decks. I talked to a lot of friends, for instance, Hot Meowth and Racy. They really helped me with the lineup, really guided me in the direction of this lineup. And I'm feeling really confident in it. I just got to make sure I'm playing well, make sure I'm at peak performance, not really making too many mistakes or making no mistakes at all. So that's going to be the goal for going into this. And that was my goal for going into the first tournament, was just kind of keep my clear head, not get too nervous, and just kind of play Hearthstone.
I think it's interesting. You went with a Dragon Priest rather than a Reno Mage, and we've kind of seen a surgence of Dragon Priest recently, especially since Trump kept going 12-0, 12-0 in that heroic Tavern Brawl. What are your thoughts on Dragon Priest right now?
So, at first, I was a non-believer in the Dragon Priest. I just thought it was, like, a gimmick, and I thought it was going to, like, fall by. But then after seeing, like, results with it, after going to PAX East, after seeing, like, what it actually was doing, it makes a lot of sense to bring it, because it's bad in specific matchups. For instance, like, its worst matchup, I believe, is Pirate Warrior. Mm-hmm. But if you're banning Pirate Warrior, it just has decent matchups all across the board. It does well against Aggro Rogue. It probably goes, like, 50-50 with Reno Lock, but it might be a little unfavored, but it's still close. And then it goes really well against Aggro and Mid-Jade Shaman and any other, like, rogue decks not rogue as in a class, but any like weird decks, it'll definitely beat. On top of it, it's good against Jade Druid, and it's also pretty good against Reno. It's really good against Reno Mage if anyone decides to bring that. I'm not a huge fan of Reno Mage going into this tournament, because if everyone's fifth deck is Jade Druid or Dragon Priest, then Reno Mage is just going to get stomped. It's really hard for that deck to beat those two decks.
Yeah, it's definitely at a massive disadvantage, especially with the huge influx of Jade. Like, I don't think I saw hardly any Jade at the qualifiers, and now it's everywhere.
Yeah, and that was mostly just due to the nerfs that occurred with the Spirit Claws and Small Time Buccaneer, because aggro isn't as prevalent.
So what are your thoughts on the general current meta? Are you looking forward to, like, Reno rotating out? Are you nervous? What are your thoughts?
So, I'm not a huge fan of this current meta. I think it's fine. It's just been a while since anything's been innovated, and it's been a while since anything new has come up. I mean, the new things that have come up have been, like, Aggro Rogue and Mid-Jade Shaman, mm-hmm. and maybe even you can consider Dragon Priest being new, and it really isn't. And I'm just kind of excited for new cards. I'm excited for new stuff. I just want something fresh in the game again. I think the nerfs were a good step to kind of fresh it up, because it did kind of delay all the aggro decks, but it also brought up Pirate Warrior, which is still a monster right now. So
yep, it's unbelievable.
I'm just looking forward to new cards.
What you've obviously seen the new cards. What's your favorite mechanic or favorite aspect of the expansion that you've seen so far?
So far, I like the quest mechanic that they're adding. I think it's really cool that it's something you are guaranteed within this. It's a cool concept and idea for a new card that benefits specific type of gameplay. The only thing I'm hoping is that the quest mechanic enables more counter gameplay, but from what I've seen so far, it doesn't seem like it does. For instance, the priest quest mechanic, all it is playing death rattle minions. Well, I'm as the opponent, I wouldn't be able to interact with that. I can't stop them from playing a death rattle minion. So that's my only fear with the quest mechanic. But I do think it's a cool mechanic. It's cool, something new, something fresh. The adapt mechanic is also pretty cool. But I'm worried that with the adapt mechanic, that the minions they place it onto have to be already good statted for it to be viable. But we'll have to see when the minions come out, because we have no clue.
Yeah, I think I'm very excited for them to start releasing things. I dream of a beautiful RNGesus who will give me let me do the quest, set my health at 40, right after I've somehow discovered Jiraxxus. Like, I want a 40 health Jiraxxus so badly.
Oh gosh, I'm not looking forward to that. A 40 health Jiraxxus sounds like a Control Warriors nightmare.
I don't know how anyone beats that.
I don't know how you could beat that either.
All right, so let's get down to brass tacks. Winter Championships in the Bahamas. Other than Hearthstone, which of course is going to be beautiful, what are you most excited about? What are you most excited to do in the Bahamas?
Honestly, I'm excited to just go on a vacation. I haven't been on a vacation about 5-6 years. So it's going to be really exciting to go out of the country, go on a nice vacation, and enjoy my time there because I'm going to be down there for a while. And then I'm also really excited to meet all of the players. So the APAC, China, and EU players, and also the NA players that I haven't met yet that I'm really looking forward to. And also just, like, the casters, the Blizzard people, like, everyone that's going to be there for the event. I'm just really, really excited.
I think it's going to be a great time. I've got two last questions for you. We talked about tabletops earlier, and I didn't prep you for this question. What kind of tabletops do you play? Are you a Dungeons & Dragons kind of guy? Are you a board game kind of guy? Tell me about that.
Honestly, if you can name it, I've probably played it or will want to play it. Like, I played Dungeons & Dragons when I was younger. I also played it with a group of friends recently. Not too much recently, but since I've got all this going on. But I do enjoy Dungeons & Dragons. I do enjoy your typical board games that everyone plays. When I was at PAX, it was really cool to see all of them out there. And then I'm just a huge fan of every card game. I've played most of them. The only one I really couldn't get into was Pokemon, but I played Magic a little bit, not casually, not competitively, Yu-Gi-Oh! Competitively, and of course Hearthstone. And then I've looked into and tried other card games, but it's honestly every tabletop game. It's just something about dice, something about cards, something about all of that just intrigues me. And like right now I'm looking at my, where's it at? My dice. I have actually a collection of dice. And I'm obsessed with dice, so I'm good at high rolling.
Yep, that's the only skill in Hearthstone, I'm pretty sure. I am utterly fascinated, and maybe in the same way, with the idea that I can outsmart someone, and that's what interests me most about card games and board games, is going toe-to-toe with someone, going we're on equal playing field, and I'm going to be smarter than my opponent.
Yeah, that's always an appealing factor of any tabletop game or card game.
Alrighty, Dr. Jikinicki, thank you so much for joining us. Give us one word to describe your plan for the Winter Championships.
Smork. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, no, that's actually not my plan. Oh, gosh, one word. Win.
Win. I love it. Just down to brass tacks. Let's get a win. I wish you the best. I hope you bring it home for North America. I wish you the very best of luck. Where can people find you at? Twitch, Twitter, and all that jazz.
You can find me Twitter at Dr. Jikinicki. That's DrJikinInki. And you can find me at twitch.tv/Dr. Jikinicki. Again, that's DrJikinInki. And thank you again for having me on. I really appreciate doing this, and this is awesome. I'm looking forward to more of this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You are welcome back literally anytime. Thank you again, Dr. Jikinicki, for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure. I'm sure, to be fair, we are recording this before that interview, so I am positive it was the best interview that has ever existed, ever. And Dr. Jikinicki was, like, the greatest person that could have possibly been imagined.
I absolutely agree.
All right, perfect. So now we're going to move over to our final discussion, which is Overwatch. We're going to discuss two quick topics and then be done for the day. We're going to talk about, of course, because who can't talk about it, Orisa, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Doomfist. Kayla, tell us all about Orisa.
All right, well, Orisa is going to be the 24th character in Overwatch. She's a 2-star tank class character. And I want to start off by saying that I think the novelty of new characters was lost on this release. Simply because there was, as we're going to get to later, there was such hype built up around Doomfist.
Right.
And then it turned out to be a, quote, Daniel, badass Omnic bitch. One of our last conversations.
I think she is a badass Omnic bitch. I stand by that statement.
But I think a lot of people were disappointed not only because Doomfist wasn't the 24th character, but also once they saw Orisa's abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, everybody was waiting for a new Omnic character, which was great. But her abilities seem very much like other characters in the game. For instance, she seems kind of like, she has flavors of D.Va, Zarya, Reinhardt, Winston, and even Mercy in her kit. So let's start with her gun, her fusion driver. It acts like D.Va's fusion cannons, and she even slows when she fires. Now, it doesn't do as much damage, which, I might add, they already added a nerf to the damage that her gun does at this point because it was so broken. Her ability, Halt, is like a miniature Zarya ultimate where she shoots this round projectile out that draws in enemies to it.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked about earlier, I forget the map name, but I can't imagine how pissed off people are going to be the moment she gets released from the PTR.
Ilios?
Maybe it's Ilios.
I think so.
Yeah, and they get pulled into that death pit in the middle.
I have fallen to that death pit so many times. Most of the time, not by my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the time, I absolutely just jump in there, or I'm Tracer and I blink one too many times.
I don't know. I've never accidentally fallen in, but there have been plenty of Roadhogs, Lucios, and Ferris that have bumped me in or pulled me in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's that. Her protective barrier, which is a stationary combination of Winston and Reinhardt's shields, with nearly half the health of Reinhardt's. Reinhardt's shield has about 2,000 health, and her shield will have 900. So it's pretty beefy, considering Winston's is like a 300-400 health shield.
Yeah, that takes a lot of damage.
Yeah, it does. And her supercharger ability is like a team-wide line-of-sight mercy damage boost. Which, as cool as that is, I think it's like a 30% damage increase.
So it's kind of, it's also kind of like a team-wide Ana ult, in a sense.
Kind of.
Because it's the same time of 8 seconds. I mean, of course, there's a lot of, like, that's not the best example. But it's team-wide for 8 seconds, and it just increases damage.
Yeah.
Which is just dope.
I mean, throw that down on a point you're defending or trying to attack, and mm-hmm. the enemy team is done, no matter what side you're on. However, despite the fact that I said many people were disappointed because her abilities had flavors of other characters in the game, so she just kind of seemed like they just took what was best about other characters and put them into an Omnic, I am really impressed with her ability Fortify. For its duration, it literally makes her unstoppable. She takes reduced damage and is immune to all forms of CC, like May's Blizzard and her primary shot from her gun and Reinhardt's Earth Shatter.
Thank God. I can't even count the number of times I've seen that death stare from May as she pops me in the face with an icicle and then just waves goodbye. She's such a sadistic witch.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, as a support main playing Mercy, it is my worst nightmare to hear the May giggle anywhere near me or my teammates. It is awful. The moment she sees me, I'm frozen, icicle to the head, dead.
There is no character in video games whom I hate more than May.
I happen to agree with you. However, I do have a friend who is a May main, and
I don't think that person should be your friend. Those people are not to be trusted.
I agree. He's shady as hell. But I think what was also really good, so not only is she unstoppable, immune to CC, but she can also deal damage while Fortify is active, so unlike Reaper, who can't do shit while he's immune to damage and CC.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a really nice touch to her kit, despite her already being broken.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait for her to come out. I think the meta is going to shift dramatically. I think we're probably going to see more than just the 6 standard offense defense characters in the set. And so, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I haven't had the chance to try her in the PTR yet, but I can't wait for her official release next week on Tuesday, March 21st. I'll finally be able to put that She-Devil, May, in her place without fearing being frozen and that terrifying moment right before she finishes you off with an icicle.
What a dream. What a dream.
The dream is true now. We can fend off that evil May.
All right, so we got a couple minutes left. We're going to talk about Doomfist. It's the thing everyone on every forum is talking about. So we're going to break down what we know, which sadly isn't a lot. Kayla, what do we know, though?
So we do know that he was supposed to be the 24th character, but Orisa took his place.
Supposed to be in heavy air quotes.
Heavy air quotes. But most of what we know about him is that he's supposed to be some badass guy with a gauntlet that can level skyscrapers. All the other information that Blizzard has provided is what we see in the Numbani History Museum, where there are three posters of Doomfist. The first, the Savior, is fabled to be a good guy who was part of the original Overwatch team before its disbandment. The second, the Scourge, was the Doomfist that destroyed the Numbani airport and all the OR-15s, for which Orisa is remodeled from. And then the third, Successor, is still the unknown possible playable character in the near future.
which would be super dope.
Especially because it's also rumored that Terry Crews might voice this elusive Doomfist.
I'm a straight man, but I question a lot when I see Terry Crews speak and walk. That man has more muscles than any human should.
I agree with you, and I mean, not only is he a beautiful man, but he's a great voice actor from the video we saw that he released when he was auditioning for the Doomfist voice lines. I will be disappointed if he doesn't voice at least one character in Overwatch.
I fully agree. The thing that interests me most about Doomfist, so we first saw him in the very first video release of Overwatch, the original trailer, we see Reaper and Widowmaker trying to steal the Doomfist gauntlet from the museum, right?
I'm actually going to reference that sooner, or later.
We'll go ahead and talk about it now.
Well, in regards to Doomfist, I still have hope for a character. It's not like we're not going to get Doomfist, just not right now, because of the changes they made to the PTR. So Doomfist's gauntlet is missing from the Numbani payload, and the OR-15 that smashed into the Numbani airport map, which is inside the attacking team's spawn point. So now I'll reference the video. Not much is known about the guy, but here are some predictions I have based on what we do know. Related to the Overwatch lore, after Overwatch was disbanded for the first time, so too was the covert darker side of Overwatch called Blackwatch, which was full of more of a mercenary type of individual instead of a figurehead like Soldier 76 was.
Sure.
I mean, they built a statue to the guy.
Right.
Characters like Gabriel Reyes, who is now known as Reaper, were part of this group. Now, a new group called Talon employs characters like Widowmaker, Reaper, and Sombra. In one of Blizzard's cinematics, as Daniel was mentioning, Reaper and Widowmaker are fighting Winston and Tracer inside a museum to steal Doomfist's gauntlet, which is broken at the end of the cinematic. Reaper has a voice line in-game that states, "Doomfist should do his own dirty work." So not only does Reaper obviously have a connection to Doomfist, but they were trying to retrieve his gauntlet from the museum. Which kind of leaves me to suggest either A, the successor Doomfist might not necessarily be the hero that fans expect him to be, or the Scourge Doomfist still exists and he really wants his gauntlet back.
Which I'm totally fine with. I have dreamed since the day that Overwatch was released that eventually Blizzard would also release a story mode.
Obviously, agreed, absolutely. I would love that.
It's strictly multiplayer, but if you could give me any, like, just a little bit, Blizzard, just a little tiny bit of a story of the wonderful heroes going to try and stop Doomfist from decimating the city, or even playing the villains and trying to assist him in destroying all the things. I'm okay with either.
Absolutely. I mean, they've given us plenty of outside context for the characters, but what about in the game? All we have in game is voice lines that may or may not activate inside your spawn points.
And we've seen them do single player, or not single player, but the kind of the story based missions back in Halloween when you would take Frankenstein's castle, basically.
Yeah.
And so, like, we know that it can be done without an opposing team where it's just player versus AI. I just want it so bad.
That would make the game infinitely better. So not only does it have a competitive aspect, but also a casual player aspect with regular quick play games and a story mode to give you more background for the characters instead of waiting for these cinematics or these comics to come out.
Yep. Alrighty, well, that's all the time we've got for today. Thank you so much for joining us here at Blizzlet. My name is Daniel Sheldon. You can follow me on Twitter at StormRage23_HS. No, it is not spelled the way you think. I'll make sure to put that in the details, though.
And my name is Kayla Ferrara. It's been a pleasure. You could reach me on Twitter at Ferrara_Kayla.
Alrighty, guys. And until next time, here at Blizzlet, stay fresh. Hey, guys. Daniel here. I just want to thank again everyone, Adam Grievous, for coming on the show. Dr. Jacob Ninke, of course, wonderful, wonderful guests. And finally, I want to thank my very good friend, Decker Hinckley, who managed to put all of the sounds together. Absolutely incredible guy. Please check out some of his work. I'll put a link to it in the description. He is awesome. Thank you guys again for joining us. Have a great one, guys.